Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and like the Roadrunner screeching to a halt in the nick of time, it looks like they're headed for a deal before going over the fiscal cliff. It's not done yet, but President Obama and House Speaker Boehner keep taking public steps toward each other. Boehner said, raise tax rates on a million a year earners, down from not on anyone over my dead body. Obama came up yesterday from $200,000 a year to $400,000 a year as the tax hike line. This morning, Boehner is presenting what Politico calls a plan B to his Republican caucus. This, however, seems to be a warning to President Obama. So let's start off with a little over a minute from Speaker Boehner's news conference just a short time ago, about an hour ago. Listen.
What we've offered meets the definition of balance, but the president is not there yet. The White House offered yesterday was essentially $1.3 trillion in new revenues for only $850 billion in net spending reductions. That's not balanced, in my opinion. So at the same time that we're going to continue to talk with the president, we're going to also move Plan B. I think we all know that every income tax filer in America is going to pay higher rates come January the 1st unless Congress acts. So I believe it's important that we protect as many American taxpayers as we can. And our Plan B would protect American taxpayers who make $1 million or less and have all of their current rates extended. I continue to have hope that we can reach a broader agreement with the White House that would reduce spending as well as have revenues on the table. I think it would be better for our country. But at this point, having a backup plan to make sure that as few American taxpayers are affected by this increase as possible, moving down that path is the right course of action for us.
House Speaker John Boehner speaking to reporters about an hour ago. Let's see what it means with our good friend Heidi Moore. She's the finance and economics editor at The Guardian, and Rachel Smolkin, White House editor for Politico. Good morning, you two.
And good morning.
Rachel, what's this plan B that Speaker Boehner was referring to? I'm not sure I've seen plan A.
Exactly. I don't know that anyone has seen plan A. Last night, it looked like we were making significant progress heading toward closing that gap. But this morning, we seem to be back to sparring on both sides. So this is a very fluid situation. The speaker is saying that he's going to move his own bill that would increase tax rates on income above $1 million. Of course, the president's proposal last night was to raise rates on household incomes about $400,000. So a big gap there. And the speaker's new bill does not address the sequester, these deep spending cuts that are also slated to take effect next year. He says he's not pulling out of negotiations with the White House, but he is moving forward on this bill. Just moments ago, as you were coming to us, White House Press Secretary Jay Carney put out a statement about Plan B. He said that the president is not willing to accept a deal that doesn't ask enough of the very wealthiest in taxes, and he says that the speaker's Plan B approach doesn't meet this test. He says it can't pass the Senate, and therefore it won't protect middle-class families.
Heidi, from a finance and economics reporter's perspective, what do you make of the way they are, I guess, inching closer to each other? Because, as I said, Boehner's previous position was no rate hikes on income taxes on anyone, not over Grover Norquist's dead body. And now he's ready to put in his own bill that has rate hikes, even though it's only on people over $1 million.
Yeah, and Grover Norquist is still very much alive and very well preserved at that. So it's definitely not over his dead body. You know, there's also a legislative point here beyond the economics. Boehner is not going to get his bill passed the Senate, and it's certainly not going to get to the president. So it's we know that it's symbolic in some way. But, you know, in terms of the economy, I think he's, you know, he's not really looking at what a good deal the president is offering. $400,000 is probably anybody's definition of wealthy or well-to-do. And the president is also offering to extend unemployment benefits. You know, one of the things we forget about the fiscal cliff is If we don't solve it by January, 2 million people are going to lose their unemployment benefits overnight. And what are we going to do with them? They're not going to be able to pay their bills. So the president does that, and he even concedes on Social Security in a way that actually offends the president's own base. He said we're going to link Social Security to cost of living increases, and that'll cut out $24 billion in Social Security benefits. So the president is really coming to the table with something solid, and I think it's a negotiating mistake to poo-poo it.
On that point, they usually say that in any reform on Medicare or Social Security, it'll only affect tomorrow's seniors, people currently under 55. But part of this deal is to lower the cost of living increases for current Social Security recipients? Heidi?
Yeah, exactly. This will affect everybody, and I think that that's what makes it problematic for President Obama's base, and also what is really a huge concession. I mean, $1 million and above is not a big concession for John Boehner to make in terms of who can pay higher taxes. But the president has been really firm. You can't touch entitlements. You can't touch entitlements. And here he is suggesting something that will. So, you know, he's showing that, you know, for the people that he has sworn to defend, he's willing to give some ground. Now, how that will affect people who get Social Security is obviously really problematic, but the most important thing is what we do with the rest of the economy, right? And this will help solve that.
So, Rachel Smokin from Politico, do you get the sense now that both Boehner and the president really want to come to some kind of deal before New Year's, before Christmas, but that they're each trying to grapple with how much that really roils their own bases they're willing to go back to those bases with?
I think they do want to reach a deal. The question is, today feels like we're going a little bit off that path that we were on last night because, you know, as we were just saying, the Senate is not going to pass this bill from Speaker John Boehner. Now, maybe this is something he feels he has to do to show his own folks that he's on their side and pushing for their position, but it's certainly not going to get him any closer to a deal with the president.
Right.
And the president has given ground on not on raising the Medicare eligibility age, but did push for these smaller cost of living increases while also saying he wants to protect the most vulnerable population. So we're seeing him really trying to walk that line of giving some ground that the Republicans are asking for on entitlement without really giving so much ground that his base would just be furious and desert him on a deal. But we did see a fairly strongly worded statement from MoveOn.org last night just based on the ground that he had given.
Against the president?
Exactly, saying that they overwhelmingly oppose cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid benefits. It didn't take the president to task per se, but it just expressed a lot of concern about this. If such a deal were proposed by the president and speaker, MoveOn members would expect every Senate and House Democrat to do everything in their power to block it.
Well, Heidi, on this Social Security cost of living increase issue, is it really, you know, is it Obama throwing current seniors under the fiscal bus to avoid the fiscal cliff? Or is it just such an obvious case of benefit increases outstripping actual inflation that this recalculation of cost of living is just a good idea?
Yeah, for now, inflation is incredibly low. And last week, the Federal Reserve basically said that it expects it to be low for the next, you know, 2 or 3 years, well into 2015. So right now, the idea of cost of living not meeting the benefit increases is largely theoretical, which is why it's a good time to suggest something like this. But there's another side to this. The cost of living increases sound like an obvious thing to you and me, but actually, they involve a lot of really difficult math for economists, and some of those economists think it can't work. So, you know, so the president also has to do a kind of a sales job to the economic community to say, listen, this thing that we're proposing, this type of cost of living increase can actually work mathematically, but not everyone's sold on it. So he's really setting himself up for another battle.
So, Rachel Smokin, is one of the next talking points here going to be about the president's annual Hawaii vacation and whether he should actually go or stay in Washington to continue to negotiate the fiscal cliff, or and when is that date that he's supposed to leave by?
Well, you'll recall last year he did not leave on time and had a truncated vacation. It looks like we're all headed for truncated vacations in Washington if this keeps up, President Obama and the lawmakers and all the reporters, too. So I think we're likely to see that trimmed. It's hard to think he would go ahead and go to Hawaii with this hanging. He's made it very clear that he wants to see a resolution on this.
Another thing that Boehner put on the table, inching toward an agreement, was to include a kind of a truce on raising the debt ceiling so that doesn't become a battle every time they need to do it. I guess for the next 2 years, perhaps, they would have a truce on that under something that Boehner's been floating. And on the Obama side, Heidi, he also last week, and this hasn't gotten very much press, and I'm curious how you as an economics reporter see it, he also floated the idea of some corporate tax reform as part of this deal, which a lot of businesses want.
Yeah, you know, it's a way for Obama to basically surround the Republicans. If he offers corporate tax breaks, he gets a major constituency on his side, the CEOs and the business leaders that traditionally support the Republican Party. They really want corporate tax breaks, even more than they want tax breaks for themselves. They have sophisticated accountants to take care of their taxes, and they'll find ways to handle that. But for corporations, they're always looking to keep their taxes low, and especially to get, you know, a lot of U.S. corporations have a lot of money overseas. They want to bring it back here in the U.S. at a low tax rate. And they've been pushing for that for, I mean, well over a decade. So they see this as their chance. And if Obama concedes that, then he's really won them over to his side. It's another smart negotiating ploy.
All right. Well, they have a ways to go. They're trying to get to something like I'm looking at $4 trillion over 10 years, but is it that grand bargain, or is it just how to get through the next year or two, Rachel?
Either we could end up seeing some kind of band-aid approach, and I would just bring the debt ceiling into that question as well. You mentioned it, and actually the Speaker's office pushed back on some of the reports that they were offering to give ground on the debt ceiling. They see that as an area of leverage for them. The president wants to deal with the debt ceiling now as part of this package. Some in the among the Republicans, particularly in the Senate, are saying, you know what, we just lost the election on the presidential level. We're going to need to give ground. We're going to need to give in on this tax fight and fight another day next year. Next year, they see an opportunity to come back and push much harder for some cuts to entitlement programs and tie that to the debt ceiling fight. You'll remember what a bruising battle that was the last time in Washington we had to deal with the debt ceiling. So if Boehner gives in on the debt ceiling, it takes away what his party sees as their potential leverage for next year to come back and fight another day.
Well, 14 more shopping days until the fiscal cliff. Rachel Smolkin, White House editor for Politico. Heidi Moore, finance and economics editor at The Guardian. Thank you both.
Thanks so much.